Brother Joseph's exhortation. His title is going to be Tithes of All. And he has asked that we read from Deuteronomy chapter 26, and we'll read verses 1 through 16. Deuteronomy 26, 1 through 16. And it shall be, when thou art come into the land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance, and possesseth it, and dwelleth therein, that thou shalt take of the first of all of thy fruit of the earth, which thou hast shall bring, which thou shalt bring of the land that the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shalt put it in a basket, and shalt go into the place which the Lord thy God shall choose, the place his name, to place his name there. And thou shalt go to the priest that shall be in those days, and say unto him, I profess this day unto the Lord thy God that I am come into the country which the Lord sware unto the fathers for to give us. And the priest shall take the basket out of thine hand and set it down before the altar of the Lord thy God. And thou shalt speak and say before the Lord thy God, a Syrian ready to perish is my father. And he went down into Egypt and sojourned there with a few, and became there a nation great, mighty, populous. And the Egyptians evil treated us and afflicted us and laid us upon us hard bondage. And when we cried unto the Lord God of our fathers, the Lord heard our voice and looked on our affliction and our labor and our oppression. And the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt with a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm, with great terribleness and with signs and with wonders. And he hath brought us into this place and hath given us this land, even a land that floweth with milk and honey. And now behold, I have brought the first fruits of the land which thou, O Lord, hast given me, and thou shalt set it before the Lord thy God, worship before the Lord thy God. And thou shalt rejoice in every good thing which the Lord thy God hath given unto us. And thou shalt rejoice in every good thing which the Lord thy God hath given unto thee, and unto thine house, and to the Levite, but the stranger that is among thee. When thou hast made an end of tithing all the tithes of thine increase, the third year, which is the year of tithing, and hast given it unto the Levites, the stranger, the fatherless, and the widows, that they may eat within thy gates and be filled. And when thou shalt say before the Lord thy God, I have brought away the hallowed things out of my house, and have given unto them the Levite, and have given them unto the Levite, and unto the stranger, to the faithless, to the widow, according to all thy commandments which thou hast commanded. I have not transgressed thy commandments, neither have I forgotten them. I have not eaten thereof in my mourning, neither have I taken away aught thereof for any unclean use, nor given aught thereof for the dead. But I have hearkened unto the voice of the Lord thy God, and have done according to all that thou hast commanded. Look down from thy place, from thy holy habitation from heaven, and bless thy people Israel, and the land which thou hast given us. If thou swearest unto our fathers, a land that floweth with milk and honey. This day the Lord thy God hath commanded thee to do these statutes and judgments. Thou shalt therefore keep and do them with all thine heart and with all thy soul. Now we'll give our attention to Brother Joseph.
I'm listening to them on now. Appreciate you reading that. Again, the title of this talk is Tithes of All, and this came from, we had a class years ago now on the Law of Moses, and part of that was looking at some of the tithes under there and how it applied to today as well. So I took some of those notes that I had from then, and that's where this talk came from. So hopefully we can gain some lessons therefrom. So, under the law of Moses, Israel provided a tenth part of all things unto Yahweh. This tenth was to be representative of the whole and was termed a tithe. So I'd like to examine this tithe, its use in Scripture, and consider in what manner we might provide a similar offering unto Yahweh today. So thank you again for reading that. We're going to start reading there, Deuteronomy 26:1-16. As we just read, the Israelites prepared a tithe of all things in addition to the bringing of the first fruits of the land. Both of these actions were meant to bring to the mind of the Israelite that all that he hath was given unto him by Yahweh, and to bring into remembrance that Yahweh had brought them out of Egypt with a stretched out arm unto himself. As we mentioned earlier, the tithe was specifically a tenth of all things. Now, the Hebrew word used there for tithe is me'aser, which is from a root word, aser, A-S-E-R, meaning a tenth. This tenth of the land was meant not only to be given in service and thanksgiving to God, but also had a specific role, as we read, in supporting the Levitical priesthood and those who had no, the Levitical priesthood who had no inheritance in the land. Let's look at Numbers 18:20-24. And Yahweh spake unto Aaron, Thou shalt have no inheritance in their land, neither shalt thou have any part among them. I am thy part and thine inheritance among the children of Israel. And behold, I have given the children of Levi all the tenth in Israel for an inheritance, for their service which they serve, even the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. Neither must the children of Israel henceforth come nigh in the tabernacle of the congregation, lest they bear sin and die. But the Levites shall do the service of the tabernacle of the congregation, and they shall bear their iniquity, and it shall be a statute forever throughout your generations, that among the children of Israel they have no inheritance. But the tithes of the children of Israel, which they offer as a heave offering unto Yahweh, I have given to the Levites to inherit. Therefore I have said unto them, among the children of Israel they shall have no inheritance. And also back over in Deuteronomy 14:27. And the Levite that is within thy gates, thou shalt not forsake him. This is speaking, of course, to the Israelites. And he hath no part nor inheritance with thee. At the end of 3 years, thou shalt bring forth all the tithe of thine increase the same year, and shall lay it up within thy gates. And the Levite, because he hath no inheritance with thee, and the stranger, and the fatherless, and the widow, which are within thy gates, shall come, and shall eat and be satisfied, that Yahweh thy God may bless thee in all the work of thine hand which thou doest. Let's see here. Okay. Additionally, Yahweh allowed for the redemption, or the buying back, of some of these tithes. Not all of them, but some of them. Let's look at that real quick. Leviticus 27:30-33. So they could either bring their tithe or they could buy it back. And we'll read that here. Leviticus 27:30-33. And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is Yahweh's. It is holy unto Yahweh. And if a man will at all redeem aught of his tithes, he shall add thereto the fifth part thereof. And concerning the tithe of the herd, or of the flock, even of whatsoever passeth under the rod, the tenth shall be holy unto Yahweh. He shall not search whether it be good or bad, neither shall he change it. And if he change it at all, then both it and the change thereof shall be holy, it shall not be redeemed. These are the commandments which Yahweh commanded Moses for the children of Israel in Mount Sinai. In the case of the seed or the harvest of the land and the fruit of the trees, as we read here in verse 31, Israelites could buy back their tithe, but had to pay one-fifth more than the normal price of that tithe. The money could then be used by the Levites to go and buy whatever they might need for whatever service it was. That way the Levite was not left out, regardless of whether they received the tithe or not. Verses 32 and 33, however, note that the tithe of the herd, or the flock, could not be redeemed. They couldn't keep that back. The Israelites also could not change what animal could be counted as the tithe. So evidently, when the flocks and herds were counted, it was simply every 10th animal that would go through. They would basically bring them in and have them go through a gate. Every 10th animal that would go through would be the tithe, regardless of its condition. And if you were an Israelite and you were dismayed because your best calf or your best lamb or what have you was counted as the 10th and you attempted to switch it for another one, both the original as well as the attempted substitute there, as we read, were both given or to be given to the Levites. And you may have also noted that the tithe was for the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, as we read of back in Deuteronomy. These individuals were the most poor and needy of the land, and likely without or with very little inheritance to speak of, and thus they also were provided for by Yahweh out of the Levitical tithe. You see the same principle applied with the yearly harvest. And so go over at Deuteronomy 24. Deuteronomy 24, 19 to 22. Deuteronomy 24, 19 through 22. When thou cuttest down thine harvest in thy field and hast forgot a sheaf in the field, thou shalt not go again to fetch it. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow, that Yahweh thy God may bless thee in all the work of thine hands. When thou beatest thine olive tree, thou shalt not go over the boughs again. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow. When thou gatherest the grapes of the vineyard, thou shalt not glean it afterwards. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow. And thou shalt remember, thou wast a bondsman in the land of Egypt. Therefore, I command thee to do this thing. And just as an aside here, these gleanings spoken of here, and specifically out of the field of Boaz, if you remember, is what allowed Ruth and Naomi, who were widows, to survive after the deaths of their husband and their return from the land of Moab to Israel. So in the case of Ruth, she was both a widow and a stranger. She was a Moabitess. And so when she came into the land, she had no inheritance of any kind. And she, thankfully, was provided for through this what was left behind in this harvest. And then she, of course, was redeemed herself by Boaz, or the next kinsman. So we won't go into that today, but just keep that in mind. That allowed for the survival of both her and Naomi. Getting back to the topic at hand, though, the tithe, as we just read, and the gleaning of the harvest were meant to bring to the Israelites' mind that they too were once without inheritance in a foreign land, and that all their lands and their possessions were ultimately Yahweh's to begin with. I'm going to read some verses on that thought. Psalm 50, 7 through 15. Psalm 50, 7 through 15. Hear, O my people, and I will speak. O Israel, and I will testify against thee. I am God, even thy God. I will not reprove thee for thy sacrifices or thy burnt offerings to have been continually before me. I will take no bullock out of thy house, nor he goats out of thy folds. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon 1,000 hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains, the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine and the fullness thereof. Will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Offer unto God thanksgiving, and pay thy vows unto the Most High, and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. And also Psalm 24, I will read 1 through 4. Again, the point being that everything is Yahweh's to begin with. Psalm 24, 1 through 4. The earth is Yahweh's and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of Yahweh, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his life unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. Now it should be noted that the tithe actually predated the law of Moses. Let's go back to Genesis 28. 20 to 22. Genesis 28, 20 to 22. This is regarding Jacob in Bethel. Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall Yahweh be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. So again, that remember, the tithe was a tenth of all things. While Jacob was not compelled to offer this tenth unto God, he did so out of acknowledgement that all that Yahweh had done for him and would do for him, in reference to the promises to Abraham and Isaac, which were passed on to him here in this chapter. Jacob had the same mindset that his posterity, the Israelites, were to have later on. So the law of Moses, of course, they were compelled to bring these tithes of land before Yahweh. But again, the concept of this was carried on far before that was put in place. Let's also look back at Genesis 14. Go back a little further here. Genesis 14, 18 to 20. This is actually where we got the title of this talk from. We'll back up to verse 17, actually. Genesis 14, 17. The king of Sodom went out to meet him, that is, Abraham, after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer, and of the kings that were with him, at the valley of Sheba, which is the king's dale. And Melchizedek, king of righteousness, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thine hand." And he, Abraham, gave him, Melchizedek, tithes of all. And continues there how they split up the rest of the spoils of war there. So this may well have been the blueprint upon which Jacob's vow and later the Levitical tithes were based. Both were offerings to Yahweh and to those in his service. So, of course, Jacob offered all a tenth of all that he had unto God. Here, a tenth was given to Melchizedek, and then under the law of Moses, a tenth was brought for the Levites, who were also in service to Yahweh. Additionally, as noted before, the tithes were done outside of the bounds of the law of Moses in these cases, as obviously it was not in place at this time. This brings us then to our next topic, which is how does tithing apply to the believer's life today? We know that we are not living under the law of Moses, as it was fulfilled in Christ. Likewise, we are not compelled to offer a literal tenth of our income to the coffers of the church, as the clergy of so-called Christendom would have it. So you wonder how, you know, the Catholic Church specifically, but really even a lot of the Protestant churches today have gotten so wealthy and built these huge palaces to themselves, really. A lot of times it's because they have compelled, I don't even know if I want to call it a tithe, and they compel them to bring in lots of money for themselves and pay preachers and whatnot. So we are not compelled to do this. However, there are aspects of tithing, of this tithing principle, which do carry over to our lives today. So first, just as the Israelites were to consider their previous bondage in Egypt, we too must consider our previous status as strangers from the covenants of promise, having been made nigh by the blood of Christ. So let's look at Ephesians 2, 11 to 22. Ephesians 2, beginning at verse 11. Wherefore remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the stake, and had slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into the holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. So in the same way the Israelites were brought out of Egypt, out of the darkness of Egypt, and into the promised land, we are brought out of the Gentile darkness as well, and being grafted into this Abrahamic family. Let's also look at Hebrews chapter 2, 14 to 18. So certainly there's the covenant that we have, excuse me, entering into the covenants of promise. But of course, there's another aspect of being taken out of bondage. Hebrews 2, 14 to 18. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he, Christ, also likewise himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the diabolos, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subjects to bondage. So, of course, bondage to sin. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. So again, the first point is we too have to remember the bondage that we were in. We, of course, were strangers from the covenants of promise, which we are now part of that covenant. We, of course, were in bondage or serving sin, as it says in Romans. We are now serving Christ, a new master, having been baptized. We await that full redemption of the body, which is yet future. Secondly, we recognize that all blessings flow from Yahweh, and we acknowledge him in all things, such that we mind not earthly things, but rather heavenly things. As part of this, we do not spend all of our time, energy, and focus storing up unto ourselves earthly possessions. But rather, we do that which is necessary to provide for ourselves and our families, while also ensuring that we are setting aside time to focus on our service to Yahweh. So in this case, the second point is we can provide a tithe by taking some of our time, whether it's the daily readings or our own studies or what have you, in addition to, you know, obviously coming to meeting and Bible classes and so forth. We can set aside time in order to build our faith, as we talked about in Sunday school, and to read and study Yahweh's word. Let's look at James chapter 1, 17 to 21. James 1, 17 through 21. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your lives. Also, Proverbs chapter 3, 5 through 10. Proverbs 3, 5 through 10. Trust in Yahweh with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear Yahweh, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. Honor Yahweh with thy substance. So again, think of the tithing. Honor Yahweh with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase, so that thy barns shall be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst forth with new wine. Ephesians 5, 15 and 16. Ephesians chapter 5, 15 and 16. Oh, Philippians, hold on a minute. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. So redeeming the time. I certainly know how that feels. I have two children, one's two and one's four, and you know, we have our my work as well, and then on the weekends we have other things we need to do. So there's lots of things that can pull at our time and our interests, and whether it's actual responsibility or something we want to do. And so we have to make sure that we are redeeming the time and spending it studying the Word. Let's see, I think I had one more. Matthew 6, 33 to 34. Matthew 6, 33 and 34. But seek ye first, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Speaking of all that is spoken of earlier that the Gentiles seek after. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. This also happened to be the subject of one of our Lord's parables. Let's look at Luke chapter 12, 16 through 21. Luke 12, 16 to 21. And Jesus spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul or thy life shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasures for himself, and is not rich towards God. This is further expanded down in verses 32 and 34, same chapter. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that you have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth nor moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So again, under the law, these Israelites could easily have wanted to bring or keep back their tithe. And if you remember in the reading in Deuteronomy, the first one that was read, you know, they were to bring these things to the Levites and basically exclaim that, you know, we did not take of this in sorrow or take of it and, you know, take out of the stores and use it for our own benefit, but rather it was brought before Yahweh. Now, the same is done here, that the whole point is, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Okay, one more. 1 Timothy 6, 17 to 19. 1 Timothy chapter 6, 17 to 19. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. You'll note that, of course, these riches, as it says back in verse 17, it's not the riches that are the problem, because these riches have been given richly, have been given by the living God, rather. As it says back in verse 10, the love of money is the root of all evil. So it wasn't the riches themselves that was the problem, but rather those who trusted in uncertain riches, as it says in verse 17 here. You think about Abraham, he was actually quite a wealthy man. You think of Lot and what he went through, and he was actually rewarded greater than he had before at the end of that trial. So again, he had laid up store for himself a good foundation for the time to come. Back to my notes here. Okay. Finally, we are told to distribute to the poor and to the necessity of the saints, just as the tithes under the law are provided for the stranger, the widows, and the fatherless. So get Romans 12, 10 to 14. Romans chapter 12, 10 through 14. Kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, and honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless, and curse not. Also, James 1:27. James chapter 1, verse 27. Your religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their afflictions, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. So, of course, we read this because it's not necessarily, the tithes weren't necessarily just supposed to be a physical offering. So in today's day and age, certainly the necessity of the saints might be that they might need some money or some food or some clothing. But it goes beyond that, as it says here, pure religion and undefiled includes visiting the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. See, Galatians 6, 1 through 10. Galatians 6, 1 through 10. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. So we'll pause here for a moment. So again, the necessity of the saints might be that one might be overtaken in a fault. So bringing them back into the bonds, back on the right path, rather, that could be considered paying a tithe, if you want to think of it in that sense. Continuing verse 2, bear ye another one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Let every man prove his work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Then one more, Titus chapter 1, 7 through 9. Titus 1, 7 through 9. For a bishop must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre. Of course, again, we talked earlier about those who expect money for preaching. That's the filthy lucre. But a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. So again, you have both sides, the spiritual side of things, to be able to teach faithfully and use sound doctrine, and then also on the physical side of things, or the natural needs of men, a lover of hospitality. Also, in doing all these things, we are warned not to make a show of it. Let's look at Matthew chapter 6, 1 through 8. Matthew chapter 6, 1 through 8. Take heed that you do not your alms before men, to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, do not use vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of, before ye ask him. Finally, on this subject, we are told that in providing for our brethren and for those in need, we are in effect offering a tithe directly unto Yahweh or unto our master. Let's look at Matthew 25, 34 to 40. Wrong chapter. Matthew 25, 34 to 40. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, this is after the dividing of the sheep from the goats, then shall he say unto them on his right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hunger, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, and fed thee? Or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? The king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. To summarize, Yahweh used the tithe as instituted in the law of Moses to remind the Israelites that all that they had possessed, or all that they do possess, was a blessing from Yahweh. It was also used to provide a portion to the Levites and to be distributed to the necessity of the stranger, the widow, and the fatherless. In witnessing this, it brought the Israelites into remembrance that they too were once subject to bondage in a strange land. Today, we also acknowledge that all gifts, temporal and spiritual, are provided by Yahweh, and likewise we distribute to the necessity of the saints. Further, we recognize that we have been called out of darkness into the marvelous light of Yahweh and serve him as his children as we await the future inheritance. We'd like to close by reading a couple scriptures on this point. 1 Peter chapter 2, 9 and 10. 1 Peter chapter 2, 9 and 10. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Romans 8, 16 to 23. Romans 8, beginning at verse 16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption our body. So again, we spoke of earlier, we have been brought out of bondage into sin in the sense that we are no longer serving sin. We have a new master in Christ. We still await this adoption and the redemption of our body, hopefully at the judgment seat of Christ. Finally, we're going to look at James chapter 5, 7 to 9. James chapter 5, 7 through 9. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Thank you.